Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 26.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namanyanantasya hatatra papatam. Kuyani badhani kritani chasmaran kam ayatam tushtamanagatasviha kalam patikshan vimado vimatsara.
Translation. Thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are benedictory. So doing, I traveled all over the earth, fully satisfied, humble, and unenvious. Purport. The life of the sincere devotee of the Lord is thus explained in a nutshell by Narada, by his personal example.
Om Jnanati Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksur and Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Vipa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavedyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Sri Vrindavan. Again, so many people coming. Kishori Radha, Tom came today. Savita, Bhattacharya, Nanda Dulal, and their children come tomorrow. And just so many people, you know, I have that class in the afternoon. It's unadvertised, but it just attracts such a good group of people. And we're studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And of course, the Govardhan retreat is going on in Govardhan, so I went the last 2 days. A little tired coming back to that, but Satyanandana and Borijan, and I just know so many people from around the world that I see at that time. Vrindavan is just full on. It's just... there's nothing else you can do here but devotional service. It's just a really amazing place. In 3 days, I'll be going to Sridham Mayapur. And the 35 Iranian devotees. And it's a beautiful, I mean, the people there are very beautiful. And what I like is, you know, there's a certain stability among the people, and good minds. And when kirtan begins, they open their hearts, and it just remains open. And it's just a pleasure being with them. So the story is Narada Muni, where in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, where the history of the Bhagavatam is being explained, and the first part of the history is how Vyas, the godly editor, who edits the Bhagavatam, basically edits the Vedas basically down to the Bhagavatam. Because he's sitting there with the eight Vedas and trying to make it accessible. And he really gets to the essence of the Vedas. Vedaischa sarvam eva vedyo vedanta vid veda vid. Of all the Vedas I am to be known. So he gets to the essence of the Vedas. And it's to become self-realized. And what we are, Jivara Supa Nitrakrit, we're servants of Krishna. That's not a paid position. That's a consciousness. And it's a consciousness of wanting to please God, wanting to cooperate, wanting to be in harmony with reality. And we're meant to love reality. Yeah, it's such a beautiful concept. The ultimate reality is an exchange of love. And we're meant to participate in that. And the ultimate reality is Krishna. It's all attractive. It brings out that desire to please. And therefore, the ultimate purpose of reality and the ultimate purpose of knowledge of reality, which is the Vedas, is the objective to love reality. And therefore, the best way to do that is to present reality, because reality is all attractive. And reality is engaged in Leela, or loving relationships, dynamic loving relationships. Reality is loving beings. And the most intense exchange of love. And the best way to awaken the self, which is in relationship with the absolute reality, is to present that absolute reality, Krishna, and attract one. Attract one to the real identity of selflessness and love and service, away from the false identity, which is enmity or envy and selfishness. And self-centeredness. So, Vyas is trying to figure out, well, how I can present the Vedas effectively. He says, well, Narada said, well, just get to the essence. Just get to the, you don't have time to do anything else. Just present how beautiful Krishna is. And that's the most powerful thing you can do to help people realize the self. And that's the most
powerful thing we can do to help us realize the self is to read the Bhagavatam. Read the story of the all-attractive personality of Godhead. That's the best thing we can do for self-realization. What we're doing right now is the best thing we can do for self-realization. Spending a lot of time with Keshava Bharati Maharaj at Govardhan. And he just started this program of just reading Prabhupada's books hours a day. And he came up with the formula on Vaisheshika Prabhu's inspiration. And if you read 41 verses a day, you can finish the Bhagavatam, I think it's in a year. So he's doing that. And it's inspirational. And I think that we should do that. You know, 10 verses a day. We could do it in 4 years. And hear the purports, hear the commentaries, hear the explanations. And get the right conception of reality. Because without the right conception of reality, the right understanding of reality, you won't be able to love and serve reality. You won't be able to realize reality. You won't be able to realize Krishna. So, this is Narada's conclusion. And to hit home his point, he explains his own story. This very, very process of hearing the Bhagavatam is super transformatory. Our life is about self-realization, atato brahma jigyasa. Now that you've come to the human form of life, it's time to inquire about Brahman. That's what our life is about. That's what our life is for. Unless we do that, we won't be successful. We won't be happy. Unless we awaken that love for God, we won't be happy. So, Narada shows us how it's done. And it's very interesting, you know. It really begins with the mercy and fortune of associating with people who love God, who love Krishna, and who can teach you. And then when that happens, and when that understanding becomes manifest in one's heart, then one begins to see destiny as serving one's objective. And that's what happened to Narada. Even the horrible thing of his mother dying, he saw how destiny, what happens to us, is only meant to bring us closer to God, providing we can understand the message that destiny is giving us, and understand the appropriate response to extract the gifts of realization that we are getting. So it's so nice to tell this Narada story just in different ways. So there's attraction for devotion, which comes from the association of great souls. Then there's the education of devotion, which comes by their teachings of the Bhagavatam. Then there's life experience through the eyes of knowledge, that, and then there's practice and there's meditation. And Sayar is illustrating this. We're up to the point where by his meditational practice he got Sakshadarshan, as to increase his hankering? Is that the pivot point of spiritual life? Is our desire? Self-realization is just a desire, an intense desire to be what we are, which is part of God and servants of God. Well, our whole problem is because we don't want to be what we are, and therefore God puts us into illusion to satisfy our desires and let us experience those desires, which is ultimately frustrating. Because you can't be satisfied on a superficial platform. You can only be satisfied when you nourish yourself. And nourishment for the self is prema, it's love. That's the only thing that will satisfy ourselves, because that's what we are by nature. By nature, we're part of God. By nature, we have a relationship with God. By nature, the nature of consciousness is to serve. That's the essential element of consciousness, or spiritual consciousness. So, God appears and then may disappear to increase our hankering. Our practice is based on a goal. And anyone knows in any endeavor, the stronger your desire is to achieve a goal, the more you're attracted to a particular goal, the quicker you'll achieve that goal. And specifically in bhakti, the goal is the hankering for the goal. The goal is that desire in the heart itself that we so much want love. We so much want to serve. It's such a beautiful position. The position of, and it's a position we can always have. If we want to be the center, we're always in competition with others. But if we want to serve the center, we can do it right now. And that can give us immediate satisfaction, because that's the platform of love. And it's and living in that mood, if your consciousness is engulfed in a sense of satisfaction and devotion. And it's really the ocean that we want to swim in. So God disappears and increases his hankering, so that he'll actually use the gift of the human form of life and the life duration that one has will be used properly to achieve that goal. Most of our problems is because we have the wrong goal. Even our suffering of karma, it's only because we have the wrong goal. We're getting particular tools by destiny to achieve self-realization. Different circumstances happen. And they're actually tools to... So really, there's no bad karma. The bad karma is that we're getting tools for self-realization, but our desire is sense gratification. I mean, the example would be is if you're if you get a hammer and you're building a house and you need tools to do that, then the hammer is good karma. But if you want to play a violin, but you're given a hammer, then you're suffering. So the suffering is not what you get. The suffering is that we have the wrong objective, and therefore we cannot use, we don't want or are unhappy with the tools that God gives us. I mean, an artist goes into he tries again, and then we have the Akashvani, the unembodied voice, tells him that he's not in complete service, his consciousness has to become even deeper. To do that, he has to engage in active service and be detached. Detached means satisfaction with God's will. It doesn't mean to be aloof from objects because that may be our desire. But detached means that there's a wave of God's will and there's a wave of our whim. And spiritual life needs to connect that wave of God's desire, that wave of the universal desire, and to live by that. So Narada then getting that instruction from Krishna that, you know, you're not qualified yet, you're not complete in service, then he begins his service to purify his consciousness and bring his consciousness to complete perfection, which is the pure desire to serve, that all your actions are intended for the pleasure of Krishna. So Narada began chanting. Repeatedly and with faith, without any inhibition, without any attachment. And it's so beneficial to everyone. The second symptom of devotional service is Shubhada. It's at the level of devotional service and practice. You practice devotional service properly, then things become auspicious. And doing so, he traveled. And he wasn't proud. He was satisfied. He was satisfied because Savai Punso Paro Dhammo. That in the sages Namasharanya asked to go through all the Goswami's asked to go through all the Vedas and come with the absolute and ultimate good. He said, Savai, certainly. Savai Punso Pro Yato Bhaktiya, devotion. And when it's done without motive, and it's done without break, then it completely, the yatma supersedity, it completely satisfies the self. You can you become in complete harmony, complete connection with the divine,
and you awaken your real self. Without break, without motive, it's the same, pure devotion, pure love, prema, will completely satisfy the self, because that's what we're hankering for. So we get that, we're not satisfied, just like if someone's hungry, starving, they can have sex life, they won't be satisfied. They can win an award, they won't be satisfied. Because what's lacking is food. So that's on the physical platform. The platform of consciousness, the deficiency is devotion. So unless you come to that platform of devotion, which means without motive, you're doing it for motive, you're not devoted, it's about yourself, and without break, that you're just constantly engaged. And and he felt he wasn't proud. Because the more you're fixed in devotion, the more you realize God. And the more you're satisfied with the humble position. That's one of the symptoms, six symptoms of surrender. You're actually satisfied completely. Because you've understood the self. And you understood who you are. And you're completely in congruence with the self. So the life of the seer devotee of the Lord is explained in a nutshell by such a, so now he gives a summary of what happened. Such a devotee, after his initiation by the Lord or his bona fide representative, takes seriously chanting the glories of the Lord and traveling all over the world, that others may hear the glories of the Lord. So after commitment, you take that relationship seriously. And relationship with the teacher is for the purpose of learning. And for a spiritual teacher, it's about learning about the self. So after initiation, one commits oneself in that relationship, he's committing himself to learning. And he's committing himself to a particular spiritual practice. So this is Narada Muni's, the sincere devotee. Narada Muni's life exemplifies that. He makes a commitment. And he takes it seriously. And he takes the process seriously. Such devotees have no desire for material gain. And that's really the first part of initiation, really. It's called Pancha Samskara. I explained this before. It's five elements of initiation. There's tapa. And tapa means the first thing is we regret. We regret the life of whim and selfishness and independence and disharmony of separate interests. We regret that life. We regret that life. So a serious, so such devotees that are serious, their objectives change. And they're no longer in the world to control and enjoy. They have no desire for that. Because it doesn't serve their heart. It doesn't serve their understanding. Jesus Christ said, what profit a man get if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? They have a faith. You know, I was just seeing it. You know, I was going to Govardhan today, and on the way I was seeing the simple village people. And I was thinking, yeah, for most people, the way they live, it would be very difficult if you take people from New York. But they seem so much happier. People seem so much happier. And I looked at it because their lifestyle is more conducive for changing one's consciousness. But it'd be very difficult because of so many attachments we have to comforts to live that type of lifestyle. But I just thought, you know, yeah, it is superior. It is superior. In many ways, it's superior. Because it's a life that facilitates the development of consciousness. But because of our standard, and it's so drilled into us since our education of what success means, that success means power, not success means love. So here he's giving the artist an example. He takes the process seriously, and there's no desire. It's bhakti. He's not into it for himself. He's not into it to gain anything for himself. They are conducted by one single desire to go back to Godhead. So they want to be a pure devotee. They want to serve. And that becomes their objective. So this is the sincere devotee. It's initiated. He serves. He has a singular desire. He's committed. And they are conducted by this desire. And this awaits them in due course on quitting the material body. It's so interesting that that is the liberated position. Even if someone seems to have desires and struggles, etc., but when one makes this commitment, really, when one makes a commitment, an initiation, to guide one's life by the wave of God's desire as represented by the shastras and specifically represented by the representative of those shastras, which is the guru or the teacher, and they make that commitment, then you're liberated. You are liberated. If one takes initiation seriously, it doesn't need renunciation, because God's desire is that we realize the self. And there's a certain amount of keeping the body and soul together to do that. And different people have different needs. But once there's that commitment, and I love that example. If someone gets married, and the girl, she, in the traditional culture, she's the daughter of her father. And then she gets initiated, and she becomes the husband, the wife of her husband. It's a change of identity. And same thing, that's what described. The sincere devotee, he actually understands deeply these spiritual truths. His whole identity becomes to please Krishna and find out what his will and his desire is, which comes from his representative. And when one does that, then they're liberated. This awaits them, this going back to God, in due course on quitting the material body. Because they have the highest aim of life, going back to Godhead, they're never envious of anyone. So, I remember when I took sannyas, Satsarup Maharaj told the story of when Prabhupada took, when he took sannyas, and the main instruction Prabhupada gave is that when you go to a wealthy person's house, don't feel, look, I could have had this.
But he said, but real devotees, because they've achieved the highest aim of life, which is love and service, and they're on that path, they're never envious of anyone because they don't value that for one thing. If you don't have faith in devotion and your faith is in things, then you'll go out in the world and you'll be attached to things and you'll be envious of the people who have them. They're never envious, nor are they proud of being eligible to go back to Godhead. Because when your action is self-realized, it's a very humbling realization that you're in a minority of souls. It's like it's like being the top person in the prison and then having some type of ego about that, and then all of a sudden finding out, wait a second, this is a prison. You can't be proud in the prison. So a real devotee is just not proud. He's not proud. He's so dependent on God. And he sees that. So he sees that the abilities that one has and the inspiration to use them, sarvasya chaham, vidisani vishto, matasmatir gyanamukam, they're all coming from God. So he feels like I'm a bank teller, millions of dollars coming through my hand, but I'm not a millionaire. So someone may be speaking, someone may be managing, someone may be chanting, and it's all the grace of Krishna. The inspiration comes from Krishna. You can have some desire to serve, and the inspiration is coming from Krishna. And therefore, a person who accomplishes something and chants a lot around or does a little service, the more and more he surrenders those activities, the more and more he's getting the vision that it's not dependent on him. I'm having that realization now. I don't know how it lasts, you know. I think Gaur Govinda Maharaj once answered someone's question. You know, those who are fortunate will be unfortunate. Those who are unfortunate will be fortunate. That's the karma, you know. And I see it in the Hare Krishna movement. I see, you know, people who are successful and even perhaps even envying them. Oh, wow, I wish I had their position and now they're down. So I was just thinking recently that, you know, I had my difficult times karmically, and now, I don't know, it seems things are going exceptionally well. And they're going so well that I can only say it's coming from Krishna. And it's so clear. So although my success, my preaching is becoming, my teaching, is becoming so much more successful, and I'm getting so many accolades for what I'm doing, it's just so clearly, just as Krishna didn't give me success, now Krishna is giving me success, and then again, it's all coming from him. The inspiration is coming from him, and you have karmically, you have some abilities that's also coming from God. It's not inherent in the soul because that can change. What's inherent in the soul is the desire to serve and be connected to God. But the service and the things you do, so it's so clear. It's so clear that it's all coming by Krishna. And when that happens, when you get kindness, when you get mercy, and you have a modicum of humility, then you realize that I didn't earn this. And then you begin to look and see how actually poor you are. How poor we are spiritually, how poor we are in terms of our own constitutional position. I mean, there's a wealth to it. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, we have an unlimited capacity for love. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord, according to personal capacity, to distribute the message to others, welfare without motive of material gain. Okay, we'll do another verse. Evam Krishna Mithir Brahmam Nasya Pasya Malatvana Kala Padura Bhutale Tadito Dhamani Yata. And so, O Brahmin Vyasadeva, in due course of time, I was fully absorbed in thinking of Krishna and therefore had no attachments, being completely free from all material taints, met with death as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. So he's instructing Vyas, look at it. I'm telling you, this is how I became the perfected soul Narada. I just dedicated myself to that higher will. And that dedication to me was just to do kirtan and travel around and be completely absorbed. Really, that's the way to change our consciousness. And because he was absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and so satisfied in heart, and he had no attachments. Love, he had love means you want to please your beloved. He wanted to please God. He wanted to please Krishna. And he had no other desire. He had no other attachments. His shraddha, his faith was so strong. And the sublimity, the humble position. And then being completely free from all material taints, the reason why he initially couldn't see God directly again is because he had some material taint. What was that? He was attached to his own peacefulness. He was attached to the mode of goodness, and that, therefore, it's not pure goodness because attachment is passion. And there's going to be passion and there's going to be attachment. Until one is completely in love with Krishna. Then there's no other desire. There's no personal desire. It's all focused on how I can please Krishna. And in this consciousness now, and his consciousness is just completely absorbed in chanting and hearing and being completely free from any separate interest at all. When death happens, you meet with death as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. To be fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna means clearance of material dirts or hankering. As a very rich man has no hankering for small, petty things, so also a devotee of Lord Krishna who is guaranteed to pass on to the kingdom of God where life is eternal, fully cognizant and blissful, naturally has no hankering for petty material things, which are like dolls or shadows, reality, and are without a permanent value. A rich man has higher tastes. So the richest person is one who has that love of God. He has a higher taste. So naturally, there's no hankering for lesser things. And he realized the ephemeral nature of the world. This is the sign of spiritually enriched persons. In due course of time, when a pure devotee is completely prepared, all of a sudden, the change of body occurs, which is commonly called death. It's commonly called death, but it's actually change of body. What is death but a change of body? It's not the end of existence. And to the pure devotee, such a change takes place exactly like lightning and illumination following simultaneously. That is to say, a devotee simultaneously changes
his material body and develops his spiritual body by the will of the Lord. Even before death, a pure devotee has no material affection due to his body being spiritualized like a red-hot iron in contact with fire. Are there any questions today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, quick hello. I'm muting my phone.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tamalati.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Great. Henry, how are you doing?
Thank you
for calling. Maybe you got to come up to New York one. Thank you, Molly.
I'm going to try and come.
What's that?
I'm going to try and come on the 7th for your at the Bhakti Center.
Okay, that would be real nice. That would be great, Henry. Wonderful. Good. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, Hare Krishna.